Alex, good morning.
Hello, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Firstly, could you explain to us what actually is micro betting?
Right, so when we think of sports betting, most of us think about betting on the team that's going to win and replace that bet well before the match starts. But recently, you know, more advanced forms of betting have become available, so we can bet on who's going to kick the first goal or who's going to make the first tackle in a game. And those things, you know, sort of happen at any point through the game. But betting on micro events is this idea of betting on what's going to happen in the next ball in cricket or the next ball in tennis. So you can bet and you can pretty much immediately find out whether you won or lost that bet and then just keep betting.
I have seen these on some of the sports coverage I've been watching, you know, as you say, the first tackle, the first goal scored, whatever it might be. And there's such a plethora of options, it must get greatly confusing. But looking at the risk of it, what are the specific risks of this form of gambling in comparison to the other forms you mentioned there?
Right. So one of the biggest issues here is this gap between when you place the bet and when you find out whether you won or lost. So we find in gambling research a lot that the most addictive and most problematic forms of gambling have a very short gap between when you bet and when you find out if you won or lost. So pokies are the great example. Every spin is a bet and you find out immediately if you won or lost. Microbetting is just like that. You bet and you pretty much immediately find out. It's also, you know, only available for a very short amount of time each market, what's going to happen on the next ball. So it's a pretty impulsive form of gambling as well. And we find that problem gamblers in particular tend to be very impulsive. So it just appeals directly to them.
It's that kind of immediate gratification.
Exactly.
Mm. Why are those categorised as problem gamblers drawn to micro-betting in particular? Do they need that constant rush?
There's a little bit of that potentially. I mean, one thing I touched on just there was the impulsivity of it. But we also find that people who are classified as problem gamblers just tend to enjoy a wider variety of betting options. So they won't just bet on sports, they'll also bet on races and pokies and whatever other forms, you know, appeal to them. But even within sports betting, they'll bet on pretty much, you know, anything that they like. So they might bet on rugby or, you know, AFL, like many of us do, but then also on American basketball and anything that's available to them. So they appreciate this variety, probably because they bet so much and it keeps it interesting. So being able to bet on things like micro events is this perfect, you know, what's going to happen next ball kind of thing, is just this lovely new thing to bet on for them.
Is the study suggesting that, you know, casual gamblers can become problem gamblers through micro betting, through indulging in this micro betting?
It's really hard to say why people become problem gamblers. There's a lot of factors involved. So, you know, your exposure to gambling as a kid, whether your parents gambled or were problem gamblers themselves, you know, there's a lot of different factors here. But what we do see is that there is a very strong link between betting on micro events and problem gambling. In this particular study, of the 600 or so people that we surveyed who do bet on micro events, 78% of them were problem gamblers and only 5% were non-problem gamblers. All the rest were kind of in the middle there.
And as we said before, I mean, we've seen this kind of betting take place on Australian TV to at least a certain extent. You see these advertisements of first goal kicked, rah, rah, rah. But it's also mentioned there that a lot of these are being drawn to overseas betting sites for this form of gambling. Why is that?
Well, it's not technically legal for Australian... Well, it is technically legal for Australian licensed operators to offer betting on micro events, but they don't at the moment because the sporting bodies don't want it, because it's tied to things like corruption in sports. It's very easy to get someone to bowl a no ball on, you know, a predetermined ball in play, or to serve a fault in tennis in the second point of the third game or so, so that people can be in on it and bet on it. It's much harder to get people to throw an entire game, you know, because it causes problems for them in terms of their standings and things like that. So there's this big link between spot fixing and this type of betting, which is why the sporting bodies don't want it offered. But it's not technically illegal for Australian operators to offer it. They just don't because of these agreements. Overseas operators, though, aren't, you know, worried about these agreements. They don't have them with the Australian-based sporting bodies, and so they can offer it all they like. So Australian punters who want to bet on this have to go to offshore operators.
Is there a need for these holes to be closed in some of the legislation?
Yeah, but it's other countries' legislation, so that's kind of hard to do. But what might surprise a lot of people is that sports betting is only just becoming legal in some countries. In the US, for example, sports betting hasn't been legal in most states until a Supreme Court ruling this year, and so the legislation is currently being drafted. So this paper is aimed at the people who are drafting this legislation and letting them know why this form of betting is so dangerous.
Very concerning. Alex, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.